We are all in tune with what God has for our lives as individuals and the direction in which we want to go as a church. And that means that everybody in this church needs to respond. Everybody has a responsibility to work towards the goal that God wants for us as a people that are serving Him. Now, sometimes when we're looking for the heading of God, we're looking for the direction of God, sometimes we look at prophetic words, we listen to our prayers, we listen to the voices, but sometimes I think God is a really clever God because He's actually given us a brain to use. And one of the things I'm going to be sharing with you today is for you to have a look at what is going on around you at the moment and see what God is actually doing in this place. God has provided us recently with lots of people that have preached, and I'm going to be sharing some connections that I believe Medden, Keith Warrington, Godfrey Fern, Alan, my dad have preached on recently, and I think that there is a link between the way that they have preached and the direction in which we are to be heading this morning. Now, I'm a youth worker, and naturally, when I'm in church, I would love to see lots of young people in our church doing things and exciting things. And this message isn't just about the teens today, it's about everybody. But one of the things that I always think to myself is I sit in a chair and I think, why on earth would a 13 or 14-year-old want to be in a church service today? Why would they want to sit here and sing? Singing isn't really a cool thing necessarily to do. It's good to listen to your music, that's cool, but singing words to God, you know, it's not R&B, it's not bass, it's not things like that. And then you have kind of strange spiritual people in church that lift their hands in worship. It can be a little bit of an awkward place to be in sometimes. And I think to myself, would a 13 or 14-year-old want to be here? But then I think to myself, actually, would somebody that isn't a Christian really want to be in this place this morning? And church, I think sometimes church can be a little bit of an awkward place. And in a minute, I'm going to explain why I think it can be an awkward place, but I'm going to explain how we can overcome that. I've been in church a very long time, and I've experienced very many awkward moments in church. One of my favourite ones is we all know that the person who leads the worship is anointed. They are in direct communication with God 100% of the time, and they always know where they're heading. And often, I believe that the person that's leading worship, they really believe that God's called them to build through the verse into a very epic chorus. And we're so lost in our worship, we've got our eyes closed and we're worshiping, we've got our hands up in the air, and we're really excited to be worshiping God, and we are singing as loud as we can, and as we're building up to the chorus, and we're about to sing out the song, split second before that, God speaks to the worship leader, and they have this brilliant knack of turning around and saying, band, we're just going to cut it down, nice and quiet, we're going to cut it down, we're going to go for the bridge. And then you sing out loud as you can the words, and nobody else is singing it. You see, singing can be one of those things, it's a little bit of an awkward moment in church. Awkward moment number one. How about this one? Maybe for the first time in your life, you've become a bit more of a charismatic Pentecostal. You've lifted your hands up in worship. You said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for God. And you lift your hands out in worship, and you somewhat feel like you've experienced the power of God. And you look to the person to your right and you say, wow, God's really doing some stuff. Look at them. They're out there cold. But what you didn't realize is that when you lifted your hands up in worship, you hit them in the face. Or how about this one? Maybe you're not quite as charismatic and loony and you don't lift your hands up in the air, but you're looking at somebody next to you with their hands up in the air, worshiping God with absolutely everything that they've got. And you think to yourself, wow, that person's really got themselves together. They're really spiritual. They're really going for God. They're really listening to God. But you think to yourself, there's something not quite right here. There's one thing that they haven't really grasped in their life. They haven't really thought of ever the word antiperspirant. And it can sometimes smell a little bit, and You sometimes have these awkward moments in church. I'm not joking, I went to a youth meeting the one time, and it was hot and sweaty. You know that youth people like to get excited. They called everybody to the front, and we're all jumping up and down, getting really excited in the presence of God. And there was a youth leader next to me. I was about 13. I mean, I stopped growing when I was 15, but I was pretty small when I was 13. And I was looking up at this guy, and he was sweating from head to toe, this big black guy. And he pulls out a flannel in the back of his pocket and wipes his head. Like every youth meeting that he goes to, he takes a flannel expecting that he's going to be sweating. Some of you, in those times and those moments where you feel that God is asking you to pray, and you stand up, someone's prayed before you, and you think, right, this is my moment to pray, and you go and pray. But at that same moment, the loud mouth at the other side that always has something to say prays above you. And how about this one? Sometimes when you're in church, you sat on the chair, and you've dropped something on the floor, maybe it's your contact lens or your phone, and everybody's jumping up and down, worshiping God, getting really excited, but you're looking for that thing, and you know somebody might kick it, and you're trying to pick it up. And all of a sudden, you see this gathering of feet around you, and people seem to believe that you're slain in the spirit when you're just really looking for the one thing that you've dropped on the floor, and people start gathering around and praying with you. You see, sometimes church can be a little bit of an awkward place. Sometimes we care a lot about the way in which we feel, with the way it's going to affect us, what people are going to think of us. But I've got to say, for a 13 or 40-year-old in this place, if you want to receive the presence of God, and this is not just for a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, for anybody, it's not just about the singing. It's not just about the worship. You need to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You need to have the work of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that brings this reality of God. You can experience God in all sorts of ways, but unless you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life overflowing, I don't mean just when you became a Christian and the Holy Spirit came in your life, I mean as an ongoing thing. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are going to struggle to listen to God. You're going to struggle to worship. You're going to struggle today to say God is real. You've got to spend time with God this morning. If you want church to be real, we can't worry about these awkward moments. So, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Medha mentioned it. I think we sang it. What God has laid on my heart, back in October, I felt that God was going to speak to me. And since then, I feel that there have been a few people that have preached. And the one thing I really felt is that in this church, this year, there is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But the question is, do you want it this morning? Because I think the biggest stumbling block is sometimes us this morning. And it's not just getting into the presence of God I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about the Sunday morning. I'm talking about every single day of your life. When you wake up in the morning, are you going out in the presence of God? Medha mentioned last week about MMM, Medha's motorway ministry, where God used him on the motorway and helped someone start the car. But that's what it's about, isn't it? Your every single day life, you are a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the only way that you can do that in boldness is by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I have to say today, after preparing this sermon, I was not confident to come and speak to you today. Probably not until last night, when I started to seek God, that he gave me the empowerment to speak on this today. Because I don't feel like I'm qualified to do it. And he said this: tell the people this is a very special year for this church and every individual in this church. Each person is to experience a new relationship with God. God wants to do something special, starting with the pastor and flowing into the people, from the leadership into the laity. The leaders must experience this first. Everyone will experience a new move of the Holy Spirit. Everyone. There will be a new yearning for the Holy Spirit's satisfaction. The baptism in the Holy Spirit will be a regular occurrence in church. Do we see it regularly now? To those who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, they are to make it a priority now. There will come upon this people a fresh desire for all that God can give and will give to them. This will not be because of some move of man, but will be totally God-inspired and God-given through increased faith. No one will be left out of this faith-inspired move of God. There will be a saturation of Holy Spirit-inspired blessing like has never been experienced before in this church. Church, looking at this, does this excite you? Because if it doesn't excite you, I want you to, this morning, to check your spiritual pulse. Because I don't believe if this doesn't excite you that you don't have a spiritual pulse. Because I know that when the Holy Spirit came into your life, when you became a Christian, and even before you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit was working on you. He was working inside of you, okay? And the Holy Spirit, well, the same passion that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And if that does not turn you, I want to question things. First of all, your salvation. Whether you have really accepted the Holy Spirit, the God in your life, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, or have you become stagnant and you are no longer accepting the Holy Spirit in your life? You're no longer living in it daily, every single day of your life. I tell you what, I was speaking to Alan, where are you? Alan. And I said, I don't just want to live an ordinary life. I want to live an extraordinary life. And the way, it's not a case of living dangerously, but I'm still living on the edge. I'm still living, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm putting it totally in God's hands this morning. And I think that is a really awkward and hard place to be, for you to give over everything to God. And I have to say, what I really felt God was saying to us as a church was that we don't do it. Every Sunday, we come back to Sunday and we're back where we started the previous week. What if we received the constant outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Constantly. Alan preached on the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago. He pretty much nicked my sermon, so I haven't put too many pieces of scripture down because he's covered most of it. Medden said, I believe God wants this to be a time and a season that we see things that we never have seen before in this church. And I believe you might have quoted Dad on that. Could be wrong. See, I have a theory in my life. This is a theory, there's no fact, and I want to question you on this. Can you live a life that is permanently in tune with the Holy Spirit and experiencing the overflow of the Holy Spirit? Because there are so many distractions that we forget to listen to God sometimes. And I want to challenge you this morning, is it actually possible? I don't think there's a man on earth that has quite managed it 100% of the time. But what I do know that there are people that move and are empowered in the Holy Spirit more than others because they spend time with God. When we've seen revivals in our nation, it's because there's been people that have been empowered. And I want to challenge you this morning that you are not here to worship God for your own benefit. You are here to worship God for God's benefit, and you are blessing your brother and sister next to you. That's why it's important for us to be in church. That's why it's important that we worship together. Let me tell you, if you need to support brothers and sisters in Christ, if you fail to pray for your brothers and sisters, they're going to struggle through their lives. They're going to struggle to encounter God. Godfrey Fern said this, there will be a new yearning for the Holy Spirit's satisfaction. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have this yearning for more of God? I have no fact to base this upon today, but what I do believe is that there is nothing that can keep you from the presence of God this morning. Absolutely nothing other than yourselves. And I say that because I know that every time I've pressed in with the Holy Spirit, every time I've pressed in with God, every time I've pressed in with that moment, I have met with Him. And the only reason that I believe sometimes God chooses not to give you direction is because He is happy where you are now And he wants you to enjoy the moment now. He wants you to experience that closeness and the presence of God. I think it's in that moment sometimes where we don't have clear direction that is the most exciting, because it's, you know that God is where, you know that God, that you are where God wants you to be. And I want to ask you today, are you where God wants you to be? It has to start with us. Or does it? Does it actually start with us, or does it start with God? Interesting question for you. Godfrey said this: there will come upon this people a fresh desire for all that God can give and give to them. This will not be because some move of man, but will be totally God-inspired and God-given through increased faith. Medden used the word fad in his sermon. Faith, action, diet. It's got the word action in it. Something that we've got to do. So where is the balance here? You see, I meet with a mentor who mentors me, and the one thing that he likes to pick up on bad patterns in my life. And once he got me to do a personality test, and the personality test was, one of my results was that I am a futurist. I think about the future a lot. I worry about the future a lot. I have big dreams for the future. But what I struggle to do is sometimes focus on the now. And it is really hard to get this sort of balance. But I really believe that God wants to do stuff now. I thought Keith Warrington really clarified things very well the other day. About us getting the God work, the God man or woman balance. Keith told us a story, I don't know if you remember, but it was when the taxpayers came to Jesus and Peter. And they said, Jesus, you need to pay your temple tax. And the way that Keith said it was, well, he was Jesus. He could have pulled out a coin. He could have performed a miracle there and then and did it himself. What did Jesus do? He turned to Peter and he said, I want you to go and fish. Peter's like, Jesus, I really don't believe this is a good time to do fishing. I mean, we need to pay the temple tax. These guys, you know, they're after our money. He says, Peter, just go and fish. Peter's on his journey, on his way. He's probably thinking, I get it now. You want me to fish, and we'll sell the fish, and we'll get coin. Sort of makes sense, doesn't it? But Jesus chose to use Peter to go fishing, and when he went and caught a fish, there was a coin in the fish's mouth. And the question that Keith posed to you was this: who performed the miracle? And his answer was this: well, Jesus did. Jesus performed the miracle, but he chose to use Peter. Did he have to use Peter? No, he didn't have to use Peter. Did he choose to use you? No, he doesn't have to choose to use you, but he does, because he wants that closeness. He wants that relationship. And I believe today, if you are not in the presence of God and it's not become real through the Holy Spirit, I believe you are starving yourself this morning. I believe that you are serving a God out of religion. You're coming here out of habit. You're coming here out of just muddling by, trying to get by in life, and you're not really living the fullness and the experience of God. One of my favorite verses is that you should not worry about tomorrow, but worry about today, because tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. And whilst I believe it is sometimes important to us, we have strategy in this church, you know. We gave out our leaflet earlier in the beginning of the year about our milestone and what we want to achieve. It's good to have goals. But what is really important is it was that we don't fail to neglect, that we make the most of our opportunity here and we make the most of our opportunity now. I'm going to tell you one last story. And the reason why I'm going to keep it short is because I want us to have time to respond today. King David had just conquered Jerusalem, and he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament carries the presence of God. And all that David wanted was the presence of God. And on the way, he decides that he's going to worship God with everything that he has. He wears something called a linen ephod, and I want you guys to check the theology on it, because I didn't particularly have the time to go deep into it, but I believe that a linen ephod was the undergarment of a priestly garment, which wouldn't be a thing that a king would wear. It might have been a little bit demoting even for him, but it was the undergarment nevertheless. Okay, it wasn't something that was necessarily particularly modest. But King David decided to humble himself from his throne and worship God. In fact, what it says is that he danced. And in those days, when they were worshiping, it would often have been the women that might have danced. I mean, a lot of men in here will probably say, you've got two left feet. Women seem to sometimes have a bit more of a flair. You get the occasional guy that has the finishing touches there, Tim. Okay. But he gave everything. He worshipped with everything that he had. And along the way, because they sacrificed a bull every way, I think the ox that was pulling the cart probably got a little bit scared, or I don't know what happened, but it caused the ark to fall, and a man came out to stop it, and he died, because the presence of God was so strong. Now, I'm not going to go into the reasons behind that today, but sometimes it can be a little bit of an awkward moment. David's intentions was very good, to worship God with everything, but in the midst of something happened that didn't seem quite so good. David then gets back, and his wife Micah, daughter of Saul, ridicules him and says, look what you've done, you've disgraced yourself. You've disgraced yourself in front of your people. You've lowered yourself to the common wrath, so it might be. But David knew in his heart, he was a man after God's own heart, and his intentions were right, were to worship. And sometimes things happen in our life, even though we have the best intentions, it can put us off. Sometimes when we're worshiping God, it doesn't quite go how we expect, or we don't feel exactly in the right way. But did David do it for his own benefit? No. He did it because he wanted the presence of God to be at the very center of their nation, in their capital city. He wanted to bring it back in. And this is what happens with your life. When you accept Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in, and it's about this balance where the Spirit of God is coming in your life, and you have to make sure that it's fighting your fleshly desires. David, number one, had a yearning for the presence of God, and he humbled himself. And I want to ask any of you this morning, when you come into church and you worship, do you have dignity? Do you have high self-esteem, possibly low self-esteem? Do you have something this morning that can get in the way of you meeting with the presence of God? I have to say something, church. I had this conversation with Ben this morning. Ben says, every sermon I cry. This one I have not. Okay? But I have to say, guys in this room, I think guys are afraid to cry. I think guys are afraid to feel emotion. But I think that the way that the Holy Spirit works is that he comes through your emotions and you feel it. It is something that consumes you. And that's where the start of faith happens. It's where the word comes alive inside of you. You see, there's something that nobody can argue with when it's something that you believe in with all your heart. It comes from the very innards of you. And that's what excites me about preaching here this morning with you, because I feel that God has given me something today to share with you. And I believe that he wants to share through you as well. And I believe that God wants to excite you about it this morning. Church, are you ready this morning? Because I believe that the only thing that is holding you back from the presence of God this morning is yourselves. I'm the kind of guy, I love to jump. At the first moment, it is awkward. In fact, the person to the left and right look at me like I'm really strange. But do you know what? It brings some sort of freedom about it. When you kneel on your knees, it brings some sort of humbling about it. When you put your hands up in the word, it's like you're saying, God, I want to give you everything. Why is it that people do these strange things in worship that are sometimes a little bit strange or a little bit awkward? It's because it's your innards coming out and it's overflowing. And I want to challenge you today. I am not afraid of anybody in this room to shoot me down now in this place, but I have to say that I'm not afraid to give God everything this morning. If any of you ridicule for me, my preaching, I don't give a toffee, okay? Don't give a toffee. It was going to be a stuff, but I didn't think that made sense. So I'm going to ask if the worship band can come up. I really believe today that God is going to start to do something. The one thing that Godfrey mentioned was that everybody will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I really believe today that there are people in this place that have become stagnant. I believe that you're not living your whole life in the presence of God. I believe you're not living in the overflow of the Holy Spirit. And I say this because I've been in meetings where the power and the presence of God has been so heavy that I haven't been able to stand. For those of you that have had those encounters with God, you must know that it is one of the most best places that you can ever be in your life. And you know, one of the easiest places is for us to do that in church, because it's hard to do that at work. If we can't do that in church, how can we live that in every single day of our lives? So one thing I'm going to ask is for the leadership at some point to come forward. What I'm going to ask is for you guys to come forward. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning, I believe this is the day that it's going to happen. If you're not experiencing the overflow of the Holy Spirit, I believe this is the day that's going to happen. And what I'm going to ask you to do today is come here and stand at this front. We're not worshiping the worship band here. We might be close to them. They're just going to play, and they're going to play in the presence of the Holy Spirit like they do every single week. But today, you have to take control of your own lives. I believe today that everybody should be standing here at the front. I can't live my life without the Holy Spirit. I can't live my life without the reality of God. So I'm going to ask, just come on forward now. If you want to receive more of the Holy Spirit, if you want to be prayed for, come on forwards now. If you are stagnant in the Holy Spirit, come on forwards now. If you've never experienced it before, come on forwards now. I believe there is something, there's a yearning for people to have it this morning. Come on, church. I believe there's one person at least. That's one, two, three, four. Come on, church. I believe, do you want it? Do you want to hear from God today? Do you want to feel it? Don't miss out this morning. God is doing some stuff in this place. God is doing some stuff in this place this morning. God is doing you some stuff in this place this morning. Church, put out your hands this morning. Put out your hands in front of you. We're going to call upon the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask him to do some stuff in this life. And we're going to start to receive it now. We're going to receive it now. Church, today, it does not matter what you look like. It does not matter what you've done in your past. I could not care less what has happened in your past this morning. But we're going to start to receive it. So Holy Spirit, I just ask now to come upon these people, Lord Jesus. To come upon these people, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place, oh God. Holy Spirit, church, just start to cry out for him. If you want him this morning, if you want him this morning, if you want him this morning, start to ask for it. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Holy Spirit, fill me up. There are some people today that have never spoken in tongues. Just try to say the words of God that have been planted in your heart. I love you, Jesus. Start with that. Start with that. Asharia de sikria sudosia. Come fall afresh on me, Lord. Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Hasadaria sudosia. Of my soul, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.